Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Jeff Blair has covered the CFL, four Olympics, and eight World Series, including one during an earthquake. So yeah, live radio is a piece of cake. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, Monday's going to be a big day for us around here. Jonah Carey will be in studio with us for an hour on Monday to talk a little baseball. Jonah's in town pushing his Expos book. He's got some sort of function Monday night. It's my birthday, so I'll be doing something else. If it wasn't for my birthday, I would be at the function, but I won't be there. Lots of baseball this weekend. I can't wait for the season to start. I'm like so jacked for this season. That's the worst thing about like going down and doing a week of your show in Florida and then coming back. It's like you just feel like you've had something ripped away from you. Because the last week of spring training is just the best. Today at 1 p.m. in Sportsnet590.ca and Sportsnet Ontario, we'll have the Detroit Tigers against the Blue Jays. Justin Verlander on the mound against Drew Hutchison. I would think Drew Hutchison would be the opening day starter for the Blue Jays. It's certainly an opening day lineup. Tomorrow at 1 p.m. at Sportsnet 590, the Fan with a 12:30 pregame, and on Sportsnet Ontario, the Atlanta Braves will face the Blue Jays. Alex Wood on the mound for the Atlanta Braves. Marco Estrada for the Blue Jays. And then Sunday at 1 p.m. on Sportsnet 590, the Fan again with a 12:30 pregame. And on Sportsnet Ontario, it'll be the Orioles and the Blue Jays for the 4,372nd time this spring. Baltimore will send my favorite pitcher, TBD, up against Mark Burley of the Blue Jays. Jerry Howarth is the Blue Jays radio voice. You'll hear him all weekend, and to give you a taste of that, you'll hear him right now on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, Mr. Howarth.
Good morning, Jeff. And after you left, nothing but crocodile tears here with your departure.
Yeah, I understand that people were really broken up. I understand John Gibbons missed me and probably a little upset because of the Josh Tolley thing, but I only write what I'm told by people. What can I say? So Jerry, before we talk about today's game, Steve Delabar being optioned yesterday, were you surprised by that?
Well, I was, and I think everybody else was too, and I can see the tailoring of his bullpen now, Jeff, almost with every pitcher going multiple innings. And I think for Steve, a one-inning pitcher. But I think, too, the other factor with Steve is when he was an all-star 2 years ago, that fastball was 97, 98. Now it's 93, 94. That makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. So if you're a one-inning pitcher and you've lost that much velocity, I can see where that might have factored into the Blue Jays' decision. He's there, too. It's a great insurance policy. Go down there. See if you can't get that velocity up. Those are the kind of people you need in support of your pitching staff later that will not be intact, the 12 or whatever they carry, because of injuries and everything else.
Well, and of course, with the velocity, if you're going to throw a split-fingered pitch, there's got to be a balance between the velocity and your fastball or the splitter, or it's totally ineffective, let alone even, and Steve was having problems throwing it for strikes, but even if you are throwing it for strikes, if the velocity difference isn't enough, major league hitters are just going to feast on that.
Well, they are, and I think, too, when you look at the kids in camp who have done well, and Steve, who's an experienced all-star pitcher in the game, things happen quickly in April, and by mid-May, you start to sift through what you have, and Steve is there. We'll see what the kids can do if indeed they're going to be on the pitching staff. But I think right now, early on, Steve Delabar is still going to be a factor this year in trying to win 90 games.
In conversation with Jerry Howarth, Blue Jays radio voice and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Jerry, we're looking at a team, and we talked about this, we were down in Florida, possibly Devin Travis, Aaron Sanchez, Daniel Norris, Miguel Castro, Roberto Osuna. Drew Hutchison, one of the grand old men of the rotation. Is this team, are you worried about the youth?
No, and I think all the names that you mentioned are going to be there at Yankee Stadium on Monday, April the 6th. And I also think, based on what I've seen here in spring training with Mycerus Tourist to start you on the DL, along with Michael Saunders, I can see Devin Travis starting at second base.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the kids in center field and left field, Pompey and Pilar, respectively. And you can see kids like Miguel Castro and Roberto Osuna, whom you mentioned, in that bullpen at the age of 20 for both of them. So here's the issue that sometimes kids can bring. And Daniel Norris is another one, too. Aaron Sanchez. Teams that win 90 games, they might have one or two kids on that team. They're experienced, and that wins a lot of ball games for you. But when you have that many, the issue can be, where are they going to be on June 1st? And when you and I talked about this when you were down here, mm-hmm. I think after 2 months, a lot of those questions will be answered. It's great to have the kids here. This is spring training, but this is nothing compared to the bright lights and trying to get people out. And then that's when the game speeds up. It's a good experience for the kids, but John Gibbons will have to weigh, too, the confidence level where they are to make sure they don't get buried.
That aside, Jerry, you've seen all the young pitchers the Jays have had. Where do you put this group?
Well, I put them in a very inexperienced group with a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
But as you and I both know, potential is only as good as when it's realized.
Mm-hmm.
So are these kids going to be in over their head? Not from what we've seen here initially. But again, the first month and a half will dictate how well they do mentally, how well they do against competition that is geared to win 90 games. And even though the division, quote, end quote, might not be as strong as it's been in the past, the American League East, those teams are trying to get better, too. So it all boils down to let the kids perform, see what they can do, let them build on their adversity, and that's what the game is all about. And if they have the mental capacities to get better without getting overwhelmed, now you've got something that might carry you to the All-Star break, but again, time will tell.
In conversation with Jerry Howarth, the voice of the Blue Jays on the Jeff Blair Show, I think we're in agreement that some of the additions the Jays have made in the past couple of years have, and in particular R.A. Dickey, there's been some difficulty acclimating to the clubhouse. I'm not going to say there's been issues, but it hasn't exactly been the smoothest fit. But, you know, Jerry, I saw something the last weekend I was down there, and we talked to Josh Donaldson about this yesterday. I saw him and Jose Bautista in the middle of the clubhouse having a 20-minute discussion on hitting. And I've seen, and I know you've seen as well, you've seen the input that Russell Martin has in this team. I think the new additions this year are fitting in better than some of the recent new additions we've seen, are they not?
There's no question about that, and I'll give you a concrete example. And I think last year this hurt the Blue Jays. Last year's group almost gave in to adversity and losing streaks, and the bottom would start to fall out. This group's names that you just talked about there will not allow that to happen. Now, they're going to be losing streaks, but I do believe this team will pick it up quicker and turn things around than last year's group because of the mentality, pitchers, players, not afraid to get in somebody's face, and especially Russell Martin, as you mentioned, Josh Donaldson. Those are the people that are going to make this happen, even Michael Saunders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need. If you're going to avoid losing streaks, number one, it all starts on the mound, but number two, mentally, I think the Blue Jays group last year gave in far too much to adversity and losing streaks, and this group will.
Yeah, and I've got to tell you, there's Josh Donaldson is a guy, as a reporter, when you approach him, it's not that he's unfriendly, but there's kind of a little edge there when you approach him to do an interview. And that's not, this is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to kind of have that little edginess there. I think the thing that really stuck out to me is watching and just kind of standing aside in the clubhouse a little bit, Jerry, and watching the way guys go about their business. Russell Martin and Josh Donaldson, they're all baseball. You know, Russell will talk to you about a lot of things, but when he's in that clubhouse, it's about baseball. Same thing with Josh Donaldson. You don't see him walking around with anything other than holding a bat or a glove in his hand. He looks like a guy who's ready. If a game of baseball broke out in the shower, it looks like Josh Donaldson would be ready to go to the plate. And I like seeing that in a team.
I do, too. And Russell Martin, you never see him because he's so busy catching 12, 13 pitchers, if not more. and lending his presence in spring training. He's the busiest player that the Blue Jays have here, and that's good. He shouldn't be around just talking and ad-libbing and having a lot of fun. No, it's a business that you talked about. He's making the pitchers better already, both what he does in games, but more off the field. Spring training for him, when it comes to an end, he'll breathe a sigh of relief and say, now things are going to slow down a little bit, and then I can relax and have fun with the media. As for Josh Donaldson, I like to tease, I like to trash talk, but I like someone who gives it back to me. And Donaldson does that. He's one of my favorites, and I've only known him a month. But Josh and I just connected, and I think with the media, too. He will connect with the media, and more so when he gets to know you. But Josh, to me, does not have like an exterior where I don't want to get around you or I want to do my own thing. He's open. He's right there. And if you go into his flow, which I was able to do early on, and he came into my flow, that's how you end up with not only a friend, but someone who can contribute to a winning team.
Hey, Jerry, Drew Hutchison gets a start today. I don't know if John Gibbons has, I haven't read anything or heard anything, if he's actually come out and said, this is my opening day starter. Do you think Hutch is the opening day starter?
I do for a couple of reasons. One, Drew can then, after the start on Monday, pitch in Baltimore, where he has owned that team as ERA is 2-something. The second thing is after the off day Tuesday to account for rain, and hopefully there will be no rain. Then on Wednesday, R.A. Dickey can not only make that start, but he can start the home opener indoors, which is more his element, against Tampa Bay, a team that he's also dominated. And then I think after that, you're looking at Aaron Sanchez to try to maybe finish that three-game series in New York. Mark Burley has had just a terrible career against the Yankees, so he's being skipped for a good reason. Go get him in Baltimore. Drew Hutchison comes back there with Daniel Norris. So, yes, I see Hutchison starting for those reasons.
Is Drew, do you think, positioned this year to take? And Pat Henkin and I talked about this, and Henkin said to me, "I think what you're asking me, Jeff, is can Drew Hutchison become an elite pitcher? Do you think Drew Hutchison's in a position this year to take the step forward and become that elite pitcher?"
I do, but the two are separate. Yes, take a step forward, sure.
Okay.
Be an elite pitcher, that takes time. Really, when you look at the American League East, it's hard. You're hard pressed to come up with an ace, a number one, an elite pitcher on any of the rotations. That's what makes the division more vulnerable than it's ever been in the past. So for me, Drew pitched what 184 innings last year. If he can get to the 200 inning plateau and have similar numbers to what he did last year, that's a definite step forward. And then a year from now, when you're asking that same question, even then, I might wait for one more season to become a, quote, elite pitcher. But he has all the ingredients, Jeff, to be that pitcher.
Jerry, what do you need to see from Brett Cecil early in the year that will convince you that he can be this team's closer?
Well, what I need to see even at the end of spring training here is the velocity up a little bit, that sharp curveball that was a strikeout weapon, and to pitch in back-to-back games maybe twice. Now, he's had the shoulder inflammation, which now seems to be a thing of the past. Saw him yesterday. It's kind of a warm-up toward opening day. But the good thing about Brett, he's been there before, saved some games last year, saved one before that 2 years ago. So that's not an issue, the experience there and being the last line of defense. He did it in college, and I think here he can definitely do it with the Blue Jays. But I think in spring training here at the end, you'd love to see him go back-to-back and have a good velocity, good sharp curveball, working in tandem with Russ Martin, and go from there.
In conversation with Jerry Howarth, the radio voice of the Blue Jays, we'll have a full weekend of Jays baseball on Sportsnet 590 and Sportsnet today. It's the Detroit Tigers. Justin Verlander on the mound against Drew Hutchison with a lineup that looks a lot like opening day for the Blue Jays, with the exception perhaps of Ryan Goins at second base and not Devin Travis. The Braves are in Dunedin on Saturday. Sunday, it's the Baltimore Orioles, Mark Burley on the mound. How did Edwin Encarnacion look to you?
Well, he looked good. He's someone who is going to have an issue, I think, with his back, and then you're on turf, too, for 81 games. I'm not sure where that's going. If he ends up being more of a designated hitter than a first baseman, I'm not sure, but I think initially here he is going to be that first baseman, and that allows Deonna Navarro to then be a designated hitter, and you could have two catchers in the same lineup. And I do want to pause here, too, because you mentioned Ryan Goins today at second, and the way I see it breaking down, Devin Travis has earned that starting spot at second base. He's hit so well against both right left-handed pitching. However, I think that you're going to see John Gibbons maybe run this team this year, much like Joe Maddon ran the Tampa Bay Rays. And in particular,
I think of Ben Zobrist, who played right field and played second and played left and played short. I think they're grooming Ryan Goins to not only be on the 25-man roster, but be a Ben Zobrist type of player to increase his value, do so many things well, and yet use him in a capacity that's best suited for him to help you win those 90 games.
Jerry, I'm going to let you run and rest the pipes. You've got a big weekend ahead. It's getting close to the game starting to matter. And like a lot of people around here, I can't wait. Cannot wait for opening day at Yankee Stadium.
Well, thanks for having me. And actually, my pipes are rested. All I do on the air is say, what do you think, Joe?
Take care. Have a great one, Jerry. All right. That's Jerry Howarth. He is the voice of the Blue Jays on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And he's the voice of the Blue Jays, period. And again, just to get you set for a weekend of baseball, today at 1 p.m. on Sportsnet590.ca and Sportsnet Ontario, we'll have the Tigers and the Blue Jays from Dunedin. It will be Justin Verlander on the mound for the Tigers, Drew Hutchison. I'm going to call him the opening day starter on the mound for the Blue Jays. Tomorrow at 1 p.m. on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, a 12:30 pregame, and Sportsnet Ontario, it'll be the Atlanta Braves at the Blue Jays. Alex Wood, a left-hander, on the mound for the Atlanta Braves. Marco Estrada on the mound for the Blue Jays. Marco Estrada coming off a minor ankle issue to make that start Sunday at 1 o'clock on Sportsnet 590, again with the 12:30 pregame, and again on Sportsnet Ontario. It will be the Baltimore Orioles and the Blue Jays. Baltimore starter has yet to be announced. Toronto starter will be the left-hander, Mark Burley. Tonight, we'll have lots of hockey in Sportsnet. The Peterborough Petes and the Oshawa Generals, game one of their OHL playoff series. That'll be at 7:30 on Sportsnet Ontario. Tomorrow, the Rangers and Bruins will be at 1 p.m. on Sportsnet 360. Senators at Leafs, 7 p.m. in CBC. Panthers at Habs, the Florida Panthers, their playoff hopes still alive. That'll be 7 p.m. on City TV. Should be a good matchup. The LA Kings, the Minnesota Wild, 8 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. Then the Dallas Stars and the Vancouver Canucks. That is at 10 p.m. on CBC. Plus, we have a whole slate of Euro 2016 qualifying. England and Lithuania highlighting our coverage today, along with Spain and Ukraine. Tomorrow, Netherlands and Turkey will be the featured match. Sunday, Portugal and Serbia. You'll notice that Travis McKenzie did not put Germany and Georgia down, which maybe we're not televising. But I'm sort of representing there. So you heard Jerry Howarth talk about the Jays' young pitching and how much reliance there is going to be on young pitching this year and on young players in general. And we've asked the question before of our listeners. We've asked, how comfortable are you with the possibility of as many young players being on the team as it appears we're going to have? And I'm kind of two minds in this. It's great if you can have established major leaguers at every position. I mean, that is the optimal. You want, you know, the prototypical mix of youth and experience, sort of the perfect world. But what I like about this spring and what the Jays appear to be doing is, and I think this is telling, we've heard no talk all spring about service time, about arbitration clocks, pitch counts, innings limits, development, and I'll address that in a minute. All we've heard from the get-go has been the best roster we could possibly take north is coming north with us. And if that's got a lot of kids on it, that's fine. It says something to me that this spring, we've seen Devin Travis win a job. And yeah, there's been an element of default there with Meisser as Turris. But Devin Travis hasn't had the job handed to him. Devin Travis has had to hit as well as he's hit and play as well as he's played to put himself in the position to get that job, to take advantage of that opportunity. Dalton Pompey has played well. Miguel Castro, Roberto Osuna, both have pitched themselves onto the staff. Daniel Norris presented an opportunity when Marcus Stroman was hurt. I think we can all safely say that his chances of making the team improved or increased when Marcus Stroman went down. How did Daniel Norris react to that? By being perhaps their best starting pitcher in spring training. So I understand when people call me or reach out to me on Twitter and say, Jeff, this team is awfully young. And I understand where Jerry's coming from. Jerry has been very measured this spring when asked for his expectations for this team. I mean, I remember when we had him on from Florida, somebody on Twitter said, want to thank Jerry Howarth for pouring cold water in my expectations this year. Well, I think that's, with all due respect, the wrong way to look at it. I think Jerry is, like a lot of us, reluctant to make a statement about where we see this team. I mean, it's if you look at a lot of the national publications in the States, they've got the Jays for someplace around 83, 84 wins. I think there might be a bit more than that. I think they have a shot at the wild card. I still think the Boston Red Sox are going to be the best team in this division. But all that aside, what I'm getting at is I like the fact that the Blue Jays are taking their very best team north. They're taking the best 23 players in camp with them. They're taking the 23 players who have performed the best. That's how you start a season. And that only reinforces in my mind the idea that this whole season for the Blue Jays is about going to the playoffs. It's not about development. I'm not saying you want to shred the arms of Miguel Castro or Roberto Osuna. I'm not saying that you don't exercise a little element of caution when it comes to the number of pitches they're throwing. But I think you can manage that out of the bullpen, perhaps even a little better than you can out of the rotation. And all I can tell you, I'm sure a lot of you have watched games. You've seen Miguel Castro and Roberto Osuna pitch. I've watched them overpower, certainly Castro, overpower major league hitters, good major league hitters. And I think they're worthy of going north with this team. So I like the fact that the best out of camp are going to be coming north. I don't have a problem with that. Again, would I prefer that there was a little more experience? Well, of course I would. But I'll err on the side of talent and stuff over experience any day. And I like the fact that I'm not going to see some 35-year-old washed up right-hander trying to hang on to his career going north with this team. He is the national baseball writer with Fox Sports. Haven't spoken to John. When's the last time we spoke to John? Did we have him on from Florida, Travis? Oh, yeah, we had dinner with him in Florida. I forgot about that. Okay. Yeah, you had him on the day I wasn't here. Yeah. That's a dick thing to do, Travis. Anyhow. We did have dinner with John Paul Morosi. We had the fish. You got to see this. I got to tell the story before we break. There's this Vietnamese restaurant in Tampa that I like. No, we're not. We're not going to tell the story after the break. So we went to this Vietnamese restaurant. It's a great restaurant. We ordered the special fish. The special fish was the whole freaking fish, flash fried, covered with stuff. Everything. I mean, the skin, the eye, the whole shebang is still on it. The organs are out. You should have seen Travis McKenzie's face when dude drops a fish down in front of us. You would think that, the Sasquatch had just been plopped down in our table based on Travis's reaction. And then it occurred to me that Travis McKenzie has never seen a whole fish. So I had to explain to Travis how you eat the whole fish, which parts you shouldn't eat. Anyhow, we'll get Morosi's going to join us after the break. I'll ask him and he'll verify this story about the special fish. And that I'm not even going to begin to explain watching Travis McKenzie try to put one of those beef wraps together with the lettuce and the little rice paper. Seriously, man, it was like watching Picasso try to drive an F1 car. Anyhow, John Paul Morosi, the national baseball writer for Fox Sports, joins us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand, absolutely free. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now, I may not be the smartest person in the world, but you know what? If somebody offers me a million beans, probably going to take it. Brady Aiken, you know him, he's the left-handed pitcher who didn't sign with the Astros after being named and being picked number one last year. Well, old Brady Aiken was pitching for IMG Academy, a private training institute in Florida, to prepare for this year's draft. And, Pop went the ligament, and Brady Aiken's now undergoing Tommy John elbow surgery. The reason I was thinking of this is thinking of a conversation I had with a couple of Jays people in spring training about Cal Quantrill, who was Paul Quantrill's son, pitcher from Stanford, who was going to be an early pick, not in this draft, but the next draft, and who blew out his elbow and underwent Tommy John surgery. And we were talking about how one of the things kids don't take into account when they are thinking about signing a pro contract or going to school or holding out for next year, pitchers in particular, they don't take into account the fact that at least if you sign a pro contract, if something happens to you, you're going to be taken care of by a professional training staff. You're going to be taken care of by an organization that has a history, because every organization's got a history of dealing with Tommy John surgeries. You're basically going to have someone looking out for you. Happens in college, you could be screwed, because with all due respect to Cal Quantrill, folks at Stanford look at Cal Quantrill and say, well, he's not going to help us win this year, probably not going to help us win next year. So, yeah, we'll take care of him, but it's a cautionary tale. And I'm not saying that Cal Quantrill should have signed when the Yankees drafted him, whenever round it was, 23rd. But, I mean, it is a cautionary tale. And as this Jays person was telling me, look, it's something kids have to think about when sitting down and making a decision. So there you go, Brady Aiken undergoing Tommy John surgery. John Paul Morosi is a national baseball writer for Fox Sports. John Paul Morosi joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. John, I'm not hanging Brady Aiken out to dry, but it is a fact, isn't it? Sometimes you've got to take those things into consideration.
Sure. And there was a lot, obviously, that went on in those conversations between Brady Aiken and the Astros last June and into July, and there's probably some things that we'll never know about. And I do think it was interesting what Aiken wrote for the Players Tribune, Derek Jeter's website, this week, saying that he wanted to make sure he began his career with an organization that had the proper support network for him from a standpoint of development, maybe even showing just emotional support, if you will, to him. So I did get the sense the Astros have acquired something of a strange reputation in the game for the way they've made some decisions, the way they've handled some people. And I think that the way those negotiations went, I think, last summer with Brady Aiken, in the end, did not really reflect very positively on the Astros. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they were wrong. Obviously, based on the outcome of this week, there was probably some reason to be concerned about Brady Aiken's elbow. But the way things unfolded did not really reflect positively on that organization. So you wonder if, in this draft, somewhere in the first round, I still expect Brady Aiken's going to be drafted. He won't make as much money as he would have made last year. I think that's pretty much certain. But he will start his career with an organization, and at this point in time, he'll at least be able to rehab with a professional organization. And we've seen cases, Lucas Giolito with the Washington Nationals being one very recent example, and he's very highly rated, mm-hmm. Of a young man that was taken in the draft knowing that he had to have Tommy John surgery, had Tommy John surgery, and now is back on track to being one of the best young pitching prospects in the game. So it can certainly work out. Obviously, it's not the way he would have wanted it to be last year, but I think the important thing is now it looks like he was at least highly rated enough, Jeff, going into the draft last year and recently enough this year, that he'll probably still be a high pick. He'll still get a nice bonus, and he'll still get a lot of attention, I'm sure, from the training staff of his new professional organization, which he'll meet here in a matter of months.
Do you like the tie hole fish that we had?
So I imagine now you've seen the tweet that I sent out, right?
I did, yes. I thought it was a fine call. I just got the sense that Travis was a little surprised at what it was like, you know, having to actually peel the meat off the fish. Yeah. I think Travis didn't realize fish had bones.
It was not my first whole fish experience.
Okay.
I do think you have to go into it with a certain mindset and certain acknowledgement of exactly where the food comes from. They understand that was obviously at one point in time a whole fish. So
yes,
you have to. I think there's a certain organic, natural appreciation
exactly
one has to have for one's food. I think that once you sort of get past that, I think it can be a very rewarding experience. I thought it was very good.
It wasn't like the fish was blinking at us.
No, it wasn't. It was not still alive on the plate. So we were we were good there. The food I thought was exceptional. It was obviously the food was exceptional, Jeff, surpassed only by the quality of the company and conversation.
And that was only surpassed by the quality of Travis's directions getting us there. Anyhow.
As one knows, in Pinellas County, this time of year especially, spring training, you take a couple wrong turns,
yeah,
and you are in very much the wrong part of the county and without really a sure idea of how to turn around. So
yeah,
I understand that, and in that I do not blame Travis for that at all. I myself have gotten turned around in the vicinity of Dunedin before myself.
Never been around anybody who could misread a GPS. Anyhow, we'll move on. Chris Bryant's a pretty big story. What are the Cubs going to do with those young players? And what would you do, John? I'm looking at Chris Bryant's got to go north, doesn't he?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Jeff, about players, because this is not just a Chris Bryant question. The Cubs have a number of decisions in front of them. Javier Baez has really struggled from a standpoint of his strikeouts this spring, and I think that's an ongoing issue for him that we've seen now over a substantial number of at-bats in the major leagues last year, in the Puerto Rican Winter League, and then again this spring. Baez is not making enough contact, and he's in a spot there at second base where he just needs to probably get more at-bats in the minor leagues, go down there, get some things figured out. But the irony is, he may have, on a certain level, just as good of a chance or maybe even a better chance of actually making the team as Bryant, because of the built-in predisposition now for the Cubs to send Bryant to the minor leagues because of these service time considerations. I don't agree with it. I think it's wrong for the game. I think that you have to take a look at the bigger picture here and realize that when you have a guy that's become one of the best talking points of spring training and you've got a chance to put him on the opening day roster, you've got to do it. Just for the sake of the sport, this is something that, he's clearly ready. He's hit all these home runs, mm-hmm. and he's demonstrated he's ready to play. And when you are going to, Jeff, develop your farm system and talk about how important it is for your young players to get better, once one of them is clearly proven he is ready for the job, and then you demote him again for a technical reason, to me that's wrong, and it sends the wrong message to your organization. And furthermore, it's not the right thing to do at the time when you're trying to prove to your fan base, which has waited for, as you may have heard, more than 100 years to win a World Series, that you hire Joe Maddon, you sign John Lester, and then you make a move like this that's sort of a financially motivated thing for 6 years from now. That's not the right way to do it. So I am not impressed by the way they've handled it to this point. We'll see if they surprise me and put them on the team, but Jeff, at this point in time, I'm skeptical.
In conversation with John Paul Morosi of Fox Sports. John, I always like asking at this time of spring training, writers or baseball people, what's the most impressive thing you've seen this spring?
Most impressive
player or team or?
I would say Carlos Rodon. That performance he had last night, or 2 nights ago rather, against the Kansas City Royals was awfully impressive. And I wrote today at FoxSports.com, he needs to be on the White Sox opening day mm-hmm. roster. He, of course, was a top three pick in last year's draft and was, I believe, the first college pitcher selected. And he is very close. I mean, he is Major League ready. He struck out, I believe, 9 batters in 4 innings. He struck out 9 of the 16 batters he faced against a mostly varsity lineup of the defending American League champions. Now, say what you will about the Royals' offense, as people did during the course of last season, that they have some very good major league hitters who are better now than they were a year ago, and Carlos Rodon just carved them up. So this young man, his slider is exceptional. I think he is, to me, he is a guy that's ready to pitch in the major leagues. He belongs in the White Sox opening day rotation. And as I wrote today at FoxSports.com, it's different, Jeff, to have a position player on your opening day roster than a pitcher. Because with many pitchers, you see teams very cleverly use the all-star break. They may skip a guy and then option him out and then bring him back later after the all-star break is over, schedule him as one of the last guys to pitch coming out of the break. So you basically buy back that service time that you're worried about. You can sort of manipulate your roster a little bit and do that around the all-star break. So that's one thing that you can do, and I think that's one reason why the White Sox are in a better situation to have Rodon on their opening day roster than perhaps the Cubs are with Bryant.
Hey, we've just got a few minutes, John. I wanted to ask you, how concerned should Jays fans be about the youth that this team is going to feature when it goes to Yankee Stadium?
I think a couple things about this. I'm concerned about some of the youth in the bullpen, but not because I don't think Castro and Osuna can pitch in the major leagues right now. I'm concerned because I am worried about what happens after them. So this is where that comes in. Is if you're going to tell me that all year long Osuna and Castro they're going to be able to pitch the sixth and seventh inning in that vicinity of the ball game, and Gibbons can know when he's going to use them, not overexpose them, give them the proper amount of rest, and not go to them too much early on in the season, I'm okay with that. But I'm nervous about the fact that Cecil's pitched one inning, and I'm not even really totally confident of what's going to happen in the eighth inning and the seventh inning ahead of him. Delabar not making the team, I'm not really sure how to interpret that. So there are a lot of situations there. Marco Estrada, obviously, has had some injury situations this spring now, too. So the bullpen overall lack of depth. Love Ozuna, love Castro. They belong on the team. Glad they're doing it. I'm just wondering how the overall bullpen picture is going to look and what it means for the way these guys are going to get used. That's usually the important thing. I think you have to look at what are you going to get from your veterans to sort of insulate the rookies. If you're going to tell me that Dickey and Burley are going to go out there and make 60 starts combined with a combined ERA of about 3.7 or 3.8, and Hutchinson's going to do the same thing because he's looked great this spring – then I'm okay with Norris and Sanchez being there. My worry usually comes is as long as the veterans perform, I don't worry about the level of rookie reliability the Jays are going to have, because I think Pompey can play. I think Devin Travis can play. I know there's a lot of youth, Jeff, but I'm a believer as long as the veterans around them do what they're supposed to do.
Mr. Morosi, it was great to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
Sounds great, Jeff. I hope to see you in Toronto next week. I'll be up there and look forward to visiting you again, and we'll have to get a whole fish.
We'll get a whole fish for sure. Take care.
Sounds great, my man. Have a great weekend.
It's John Paul Morosi, the national baseball writer for Fox Sports. So that's going to be a good week. He's going to be up here next week. We'll get him on. Jonah Carey's going to be up here for an hour on Monday. So that'll be cool. That's it for the Jeff Blair Show today. Thanks so much for joining us and spending part of your morning with us. Hockey Central at noon is next. You guys have a great day. We'll talk to you on Monday.